The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, ParaX. It is 7 o'clock Central Time, which means you are listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, by like 2 minutes, is my co-host, Dave Soiring. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Mike. It wasn't 2 minutes, man. It was about a minute and 14 seconds.
Yeah, you're being too humble.
I'm being too humble. No, it was by the skin of my teeth today in the beautiful weather that is Minnesota right now. The roads are just since this morning they've been just pretty much sheer ice. And so since I drive for a living, I drove 12 hours today in roads that were just basically black ice and sheer ice. And now we're getting 6 to 10 inches of snow in the next 3 days to blanket the black ice. And it's too cold for any of the stuff to work to melt the ice. So yay us.
What you're saying is I need to take the rest of the week off.
I'm feeling a sick day coming. I don't know if it's tomorrow or if it's going to be Thursday. Thursday's supposed to be absolutely brutal. So, yeah. They're saying 3 to 5 inches on Thursday with sub-zero temperatures and like high winds. And I'm like, no.
You know what's funny is I think about this every time it gets cold. I can't remember how long ago it was. It was at least 10 years, maybe 15. Somebody told me that when it gets below 15 degrees, it's impossible to snow. It's too cold for it to snow.
I've heard that something very similar to that too, and that's BS.
Yes. every time that it's like 5 degrees outside or zero, I'm like, at least it's not going to snow. It's impossible. And then
right. It
snows.
And then it snows. Right. Yeah.
So that is disproved.
Yes.
If anybody has ever heard that, it's a lie. They lied to you.
It's a lie.
And you need to remove yourself from their life completely.
Right. They were trying to wrong you. Yes.
They cannot be trusted.
No.
So, this is what I'm, this show is what I'm calling the relaxing show.
Yeah.
Where Dave and I can, sit back and, relax.
Yes.
And have an intelligent conversation about multiple topics. In fact, and I've been saving this because it's been sitting in front of me, taunting me for like the last like 20 minutes. And it's just,
Oh, nice.
And it's not a beer or anything. So don't.
Well, of course not.
So I'm having a refreshing Coca-Cola.
Okay. There's our plug. So anybody who's listening that's a Coca-Cola rep, we want to get some cash for that.
It is a truly refreshing beverage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I actually thought one of these days, and not to give it out because everybody's going to forget that I said this in a couple weeks. But I'm going to have a product placement show where you and I should just, you know, a show where it's just you and me. we'll just try to throw in as many cultural references for materialistic things and their slogans into our show.
I love that. It's going to be the gratuitous plug show.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be. The gratuitous plug show with Mike and Dave. That's what it's going to be because, I mean, I'm going to have things like Porsche and, you what? Know, fine no. cigars.
If you, but nobody's going to know.
Snuggle fabric softener.
Right. Well, that one you might. But, I'm talking about, like, slogans people would actually know.
Charmin tissue.
You know, because they do it on, and I guess if you want to accuse me of stealing it from them, although it wasn't on my mind when I came up with this, The Daily Show does that a lot.
Oh, do they?
They usually pick on one particular thing. I know when Jon Stewart was still on the show, it was Arby's.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they would say, you know, it's like as bad as Arby's. And then they'd turn to the camera and be like, Arby's. And then he'd make up a slogan for it.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, and now Trevor Noah's on it. They kind of do it every once in a while, just some random things. But I thought that would kind of be funny to just kind of be talking about some topic and then be like, McDonald's, I'm loving it. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Like I said, everybody's going to forget that I'm talking about this in at least a week.
Yeah, that's okay. Because that gives us time to contact all the corporate representatives for all the products that we're going to be pitching and then tell them to all tune in that night so they can hear their product being gratuitously presented to the American public.
I don't think they're going to care, but we can try.
We'll try. Maybe we'll get a free thing for fries or something. Some new cheddar bacon fries from McDonald's.
Well, see, that's what Twitter is for. Because I've actually seen it happen where if you tweet them, whether it's a complaint, especially if it's a complaint, that they'll respond and they'll be like, here's a gift card, you know, that kind of thing. So I'll, you know, to make up for the horrible experience. And
another reason I got to get on Twitter.
Write that down, Dave.
It's another reason I got to get on Twitter.
But so what I'll do is I'll then tweet at these places and be like, we're going to be talking about you on our show tonight and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Okay, good.
We're going to throw Audi in there too, just in case they feel like giving us a couple of Audi S7s.
I don't know. I saw a commercial last night for that Audi. That looked pretty sweet.
That was a nice Audi. Yeah.
But also
hybrid one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also like a $120,000 vehicle.
Well, you know what though? That's a write-off for Audi. It'd be like,
yeah.
Hey, we got these two guys in Minnesota. No. They got crappy weather. We got an all-wheel drive system. We're Quattro. We're the best all-wheel drive system. We're going to give these guys a couple of cars. And all we need in return is a little bit of feedback every now and then some plugs on their extremely popular, highly listened to, high demand paranormal talk radio show.
Has our listener like boosted up to a dozen?
15.
15? Okay. Well, we're making our way.
We're making our way, buddy.
So, one of the things that I would like to start off with, speaking of Twitter, I don't know if a lot of you guys follow, you know, like Amy Bruni and Adam Berry and Chip Coffee and play people who are in the paranormal on Twitter. You should, because it's awesome. But I noticed that, especially lately, that when Kindred Spirits came back on the air for this season, like after every episode, it just seemed to be like this storm of almost needing for them to like defend themselves. And I have no idea why. because it's, I don't know, I guess if I don't agree with something, I just keep my mouth shut. You know, yeah, if you didn't like the episode, you know, don't watch, you know, that sort of thing. But, like, I know the internet is anonymous, and, you know, it's so much easier to be opinionated when you're not face-to-face with the person. And, but it's, like, weird, because, like, at least I think they do, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they always seem to have a very good reputation in the field and respect in the field. Not like a show in person who shall remain nameless for the time being. But like people were like, oh, I can't get behind what you guys are doing. You know, how do you even prove that what you're doing is real? And, I don't know. It bothers me that half the time, it just seems like you're defending yourself against people who either don't know what they're talking about. They're just fans of the paranormal. Like they'd never been on an investigation, or if they did, it was, you know, some event where there are like 80 people there. But what is your take on, I guess, more people coming out of the woodwork who want to talk negatively about reputable shows and just the paranormal in general?
Well, Mike, I am glad that you asked me that. So
you're welcome, Dave.
All right. So first of all, you have to remember that every single show that's out there, every single show has some portion of it of entertainment value to it. Okay. They're not all just, this is the investigation, this is what we, you know, it's not a hardcore investigation caught on film, because nobody would want to watch that. Because when you know behind the scenes how long it takes, well, right, you and I and numerous others would, but general public, you couldn't sell advertising for it is what I'm saying. And we all know that selling advertising is what's going to get a show on TV. So you couldn't sell advertising for a show that was legitimate like that, that just showed the grind of an investigation. So that's the first thing. So every single show has some entertainment value to it. Secondly, I totally 100% agree with you in the fact that the internet and social media in general has made it extremely easy for people that don't know anything about anything to become an expert on something in 5 minutes. And they'll be the first ones to be posting something about doubting this, doubting that. Why didn't you do this? I didn't see any, I didn't see a full body apparition. I didn't see this. I didn't, or on the flip side of that, ooh, I watched your show and it was the devil. The devil was there. I know it was the devil. There was demons everywhere. I could tell by the way people were reacting. And the person doesn't even know what a demon is. And then you've got a handful of the population that are just internet trolls that are just looking for, that's their professional job. They're internet trolls. So they troll around until they find the hot topic of the day. And then they go in there and they try and destroy somebody.
Yeah.
That's me putting it mildly. I have many, many more things to say, but I'll leave it alone right there because I can't cuss on the show.
Give it time.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree with you on the entertainment value, but yeah. You know, because anytime that I take out a new person onto investigation who wants to be trained to be an investigator, there's always a certain degree of expectation that it's going to be in some way entertaining.
Right.
And I quickly try to squash that. You know, not so much because this is exactly what I tell them. I said, we're not there to have fun. I said, we have fun. We do. But that's not why we're there.
No, right. It happens. It happens along the way, whether it's intended to or not. It just happens.
Yes.
Right.
you know, and I think a lot of people, even when it's completely quiet, I think it's just the setup and the mentality in your mind that this is really interesting. You know, this, you know, and that in and of itself is a form of entertainment. In fact, that's the number one word. Anytime I ask anybody new who's out there for the first time, I go, how did you like it? First word that comes to your mind, it's interesting. Always. And I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot. Because it is. Yeah. You know, it's a very interesting field. But they always want to do it again. I mean, there's always an entertainment value in even being quiet, just because it's the mentality of what could happen.
Right.
You know, what could be there.
Right.
You know, I in fact, I said it this weekend during an investigation. I said, actually, it wasn't even me. It was Scott and Josie who were reiterating the fact of just because it's quiet doesn't mean they're not speaking to you.
Correct.
And I guess for the people who don't know that, and you can tell, you can tell that they don't, that they're just throwing out their opinion because this show has been, you know, some other show has been deemed to be at least half staged. So right. All of them are staged, you know, that sort of thing. And they want to make their opinion known. And it's like, why is it worth your time to do this?
It's the famous 15 minutes of fame on the internet now.
But you don't even get 15 minutes. All you did was like piss off three people and look like an idiot to everybody else.
Right. But then they can go back and they can talk about it. I posted on this thing and da-da-da-da-da, and it'll live on in their personal lives with their personal circle of friends. You know, I don't know. You know me. I'm not a huge fan of social media.
No, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's there. I use it limitedly. I use it, but it's not – but I'm not like a slave to it. I love that phrase. I'm not – I am the person – I could get a shirt that says I'm not a slave to social media, and that I would be the person walking around that's 100% truthful right there. Because I could give or take social media any given day, but I do use it occasionally when it's like serves a good purpose. But for some people, you know, it's their life.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and I don't know. That makes me scared to where, and I'm getting off topic here, but that makes me scared to where the next generation is going to go and what's going to actually happen in our society when their lives are based solely on the internet and social media. What's going to happen in the brick and mortar world with those people, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I am on social media every day, but I almost never post. 'Cause one, I don't care. I like to read. You know, it's almost like it's the new interactive newspaper.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to sit down and read 1,000 words about this particular topic when they can go on Twitter and they can see, you know, Johnny Johnson 412 say, you know, say it in 3 sentences.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. It's a lazy man's news. But the only problem is that it's not even news. It's opinion. And you got to take that with, obviously, a grain of salt, and people don't. Not only that, but it also allows people to choose the news they want.
You know, I will say this, though. I'm not backtracking, but I'm taking a half a step back here. There's nothing wrong with people sharing their opinion if it's shared in the proper format.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? So I have no problem with that. If Johnny, you know, 412 or whatever wants to have an opinion on the show that we're talking about and he didn't like something because of this and he states what that reason was and he gives an example of it, okay, I'm with you. You know, I might not agree with you, But I'm not going to discredit your opinion because it's your personal opinion. And I'm not offended by it. I'm not swayed by it. But I can respect the fact that it was your personal opinion on that topic.
I agree that I should probably have been more specific. If somebody has a legitimate question, like, I don't understand how the K2 works, or I don't understand how you use the K2 in your investigations, can you explain that to me? That is a legitimate question. Even though you want them to kind of defend, not even defend, explain how they do things. But when you use that passive aggressive, like, I saw you using the K2 and God, I just don't believe in that. You know, I think you're faking that, or this could, you know, and they start throwing out their own theories as to what could be setting it off and what could have faked it.
Right.
That I don't understand.
And then you find out the person's a cupcake maker and has never, ever been out in the field and doesn't even know really what a K2 is. Other than a box that holds in your hand that goes from green to red.
Yeah.
You know.
Or they've been to an event where, you know, some team or whatnot had a K2 and it went off once.
Yeah, and had their walkie-talkies with them and were using them and had their cell phone on full juice power.
Probably more the cell phone.
Yeah,
I think reputable teams, the ones that care about what they do, know to turn them off. But it's every time that I go out with new people, it's you need to turn your cell phones off. Oh, okay, you know, and they had no idea.
Right.
But
nor should they. And that's a good learning. That's a good learning thing right there. Okay. Right, because they shouldn't know. We didn't know. The only way we found out was because we kept hearing UFOs on the audio recorder. And we're like, okay, there can't be UFOs coming through every time on the EVPs. Something is going on. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Something isn't right. You know, what is it? You know, and so you had to sit down and think and, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, the very first time, probably the last time, that I ever provoked first home investigation I was with you, obviously.
Yep.
Well, I was with the team. You were there. I was actually with Nate at the time. But first time I ever provoked, you could hear me talking. But then the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found out real quick how bad cell phones mess with an investigation.
Yep.
I guess I just don't. I don't. I want to say just leave your opinions to yourself. I guess, but then again, if I were to say that, I can't particularly be like. But the people who love the show, go ahead and say something. So I mean, it's you got to take the good with the bad. I understand that. It's just maybe it's the lack of respect. Maybe it's that I don't get. It's not the fact that people think that this might be staged or whatever, but they're like vicious when they do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Because, I mean, I don't know Amy and Adam. I've never talked to them. I do want them on the show. I've been trying for months and months to get them. But from all intents and purposes, from what I've seen in my own opinion, or not opinion, but my own experience, what they do is legit. You know, I think that I came to that realization one of the first episodes that I watched, and this was like they're probably mid second season or something like that, where they listened to some quote unquote audio that their client had recorded, and they had their own idea of what it said, and they listened to it, and right there on the show, he's like, you know what that is, right? It's like, it's just your pants going, you know, it's just switching clothing movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just clothing movement. And it's when they said that and they disproved, you know, what this client, I mean, they didn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, even for the show, they could have just been like, wow, oh my God, did you hear this EVP? But,
right.
You know, they were truthful. I'm like, you know what that is? It's just swishing fabric.
Right.
That has happened.
Yes, it has.
You and I are well aware of that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that I don't know how that phenomena happens, but somehow on a digital recorder, swishing pants or like a jacket, especially like a nylon type jacket being moved around, I'm telling you what, you can get some serious conversation out of a nylon jacket swishing back and forth. It's crazy. I don't know how it works, but it is crazy.
It's all about matrixing. I mean,
yeah.
your mind can find patterns in anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I fully respect them for that. So, I mean, to me, I don't know. To me, it seems far more legit. I mean, yeah, Adam, I think, gets a little like, you know, he goes full chip coffee. A lot of the time, but it's just what they present just doesn't seem to be to me to be faked or anything. So I guess when I look at that show, especially when nobody and I don't follow any of I follow Aaron. Did I take that off? I think I might have unfollowed him because I just don't care about GA anymore. But when I used to live tweet at them and make fun of them, so I guess I was part of it, but I was
part of the trolling.
I was definitely, and this was like pre-troll. Like I don't even think the term troll for what you would do on the internet actually existed that time. So I was like the pre-troll. But when I would do that during their live shows, nobody would say a bad word. No, everybody was like, oh my God, this place is so scary. I love you. Like nobody had anything bad to say about them.
Yep.
And even though still, you know, like I said, I don't follow any of them. So maybe this does happen. I don't see anybody say anything bad about GA, which shocks me because they're the worst show out there. At least when it comes to legitimacy. I'll say that entertainment value wise, that's all anybody ever. Maybe that's it. Maybe people just don't expect anything from him, so they don't have anything bad to say. Like, oh, Zach being a douche again. I love that.
I'll say this: it's not every episode, but it is when it's a good episode. It is an entertaining show. I'll just say it's entertaining. That's what I'll say.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what bothers me the most. I think it's when I see legitimate investigators being challenged and non-legitimate investigators, entertainers, not being challenged. I don't know. I guess I take that as a personal insult.
I could tell you what's bothered you since day one, because we talked about it, is that when they get into a situation that something is going sideways or wrong, you know, I mean wrong when I say sideways, that he will be the first one to say, Aaron, I need you to go downstairs by yourself and da-da-da-da-da, or up in the attic by yourself, because that's where the activity was. That's where the person hung themselves. That's where the guy got thrown out the window and died. I need you to go up there all alone by yourself and provoke. And then we're going to watch on the monitor. And then if something happens, we'll be up there. Yeah, we're going to be there. But, you know, just hang tight. Right. And I know that's what you don't like, because that is what I don't like, too. But you really hate that. I dislike it. You really have. That's in your craw. I know it is. And it should be, right? I mean, it's okay for it to be in your craw. There's nothing wrong with that. Because it's stupid. Because you don't throw one of your investigators into a situation like that, knowing that there's potential harmful energy.
Yep.
That's stupid.
And they suffer the consequences all the time.
And they do. Absolutely, they do. Right.
But it's just nobody hears about that.
No. Because they don't want to talk about that. Because if they told you that that happened, the show would be over. Because people would be like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Why would you put him up there?
No. I think it would actually raise their...
I don't think so.
Well,
People that are intelligent, I think you would lose that whole section of people. People that are thrill-seeking and don't care about anything and just want to see people get hurt, I think you would keep that population and maybe add a little bit more. But people that are intelligent and actually have morals, you would not keep that audience. I don't think so. I don't think so. So,
well, I mean, there's obviously a reason why I consider them to be paranormal entertainers and not paranormal investigators. I don't care what they say. And
they still get to go to all the cool spots, though.
They do. But I mean, I think, well, of course you'd agree with me, but if you sent us into the Washoe Club, you know, stuff like that, Waverly Hill, you know, these places that they get to go to, the experiences and the evidence coming out of that would be unreal.
I'm 1,000,000% behind you on that. I'm telling you what, if anybody out there listening doesn't believe Mike and I, you give us 2 weeks. You cover us for expenses for 2 weeks at the Washoe Club, all right? You send us there because that's what they take, right? We all know that. When they film an episode, they're there for a couple weeks.
We could do it in a night.
No. I'm saying you give us a couple weeks so we get to get familiar with the place because I like Nick Groff's concept on that of the long – and Katrina. The longer you're there, the more familiar the spirits get, the more they are going to interact with you. So you give us a couple weeks to film and a couple weeks to investigate, and we will walk out of there – with a 10-year-long program show, we'll have so much evidence.
10-year-long.
Right? I mean, they get one 42-minute episode out of it. We would walk out of there with a whole season of the Washoe Club in 2 weeks.
I don't know about 10 years.
All right, 10 years was an exaggeration. We'd get a whole season.
We'd get a whole season.
We would get 10 episodes out of 2 weeks at the Washoe Club.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, really, if we were there for 2 weeks, that's, you know, 14 days. We investigated every night. That would be a 14, in my opinion, it would be a 14-episode season.
We'd have to cut the fat to trim it into a 10-show season. And we'd be complaining about all the evidence that was on the cutting room floor.
Yes.
What do you mean we're not going to show that? That totally needs to be in there.
I think that's why most production companies and networks don't allow the investigators to have creative control, at least not that much. Because I think it was, no, it was Elizabeth where she was telling us about how she, why, you know, why wasn't this in there? That's important, but they had to cut it because.
Right. It was Elizabeth. Yep.
Yep. For Ghost of Shepherdstown.
Yep. She said she was shocked at some of the stuff they left out.
Yeah. Which sucks because I really would like to have seen that.
Yeah, me too. Even if it was a small piece of evidence, one or two pieces of evidence that were small, but they totally correlated with the big picture of what they got. Because then it makes sense. You got to take your gradual steps to get to the grand prize. It just doesn't
Hollywood.
Yeah, I know.
We're gonna go to commercial, and unless you got anything to add.
No, I'm good. Nope, I think I got enough points in there for the first half of the show.
Sounds good. All right. We'll be back here in a couple minutes. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X.
UFOs. Bigfoot. cryptid.
All I insist on the call. Just think if you listen to the words of Paralex.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Rhett! Rhett! Where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view. Back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
And we are back. Dave and I are discussing Twitter and social media and how the popularity of the paranormal field has brought out some of the worst in people. I guess you could say. I don't know. I guess for the amount of respect that I have for Amy and Adam and Grant and Amy Allen and, you know, Steve DeShavi and Chip, maybe I just feel that they deserve more respect than they're getting. And they just reserve, you know, they deserve better in general. Cause I have never, especially since he's so anti-Trump and I completely understand that. I'm not going to talk about politics, but he just seems to, have to spend half of his day like fending off people attacking him, and for he seems to enjoy it though. In fact, because I also see the people who are like, Chip, I love you. Why do you feel the need to, you know, interact with these other people who are saying the opposite stuff? And he's actually gotten to the point where he's like, please don't tell me how to act on my own Twitter feed. You know, right. he wants to do it. And, you know, and I'm fully in support of him doing whatever he wants, but it's one of those things where it's just like, doesn't that just get tiring?
Well, it would to me.
And it would to me. I mean, if I put my heart and soul into putting on a good show while at the same time helping people, which is what I would want to do, that, you know, putting on a good show is like priority number five, you know, helping people, you know, making sure my team is, that's all higher priorities to me.
Right. Yep.
And I just think that the entertainment value is the exhaust port. You know, it's going to be, it's going to happen naturally when you do a good investigation. So, but to do that and be successful at it, and you know that you're helping people, to have to then go on the next day and you're like, oh, let me see what people thought of the show. And you log on to Twitter and you've got, you know, 20, 25 people, you know, probably even more in their case, being like, oh my God, I love the show. I love the fact that you're helping me. But then have to be like 30 people being like, you guys are frauds. Why are you even on TV? Right. You know, that day after day after day, episode after episode, it would just get old. And it would get tiring to the point where I would just be like, everybody's allowed their opinion. You want to poise that? I mean, that's fine. I'm not going to respond to anybody.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that you see that sometimes, like when you see some people that are really popular, that their publicist will say, you know, so-and-so is going to take some time off of social media. And I think it's that daily grind of negativity because no, I don't care who you are. First of all, nobody wants that shit in their life every day, you know? Seriously. And secondly, you can only handle so much, right? I mean, your cup can only get so full of negativity, and then it's going to overflow. And, I mean, why let it? I mean, I just don't get it, you know? That's, for me, that's why I'm not, I could give or take social media. That wouldn't bother me at all, because you know what I would say to people on Twitter? I'd have more people offended by what I said. I'd have people coming out of the woodwork for my response versus what the original idea was. That's probably why I'm not on there. So it's probably better.
Yeah, more likely. But then again, it's almost like this Twitter wave of crap.
That's yeah. Just, yeah.
But so,
I guess you got to learn to take it in stride. I guess. You know, I guess you just got to learn to look at it and just go, whatever. And then just move on to a positive one, if that's what you're trying to do, you know?
Yeah. You know, I remember last example. It was right after their season premiere, which I thought was a great episode. I mean, really, not a lot happened, like personal experience-wise. I mean, yeah, they heard some disembodied voices, but I don't... There wasn't a lot of like EVPs and, you know, but they had Chip on there and they had John Tenney on there. And I really miss John Tenney. I've been a follower of his ever since Ghost Stalkers, you know, was on the air.
Yep.
And I think he's just a wealth of knowledge in like all kinds of different things. But somebody had,
I'm looking forward to him coming on the show.
Yes, me too. I'm almost wondering if maybe we should have him singular and then have him in Chad.
And Chad. Because I think Chad. Him and Chad are just going to be a fun show. Kind of looking yeah, back on some of the funny moments, maybe.
It will be.
Yeah. And then I think I'd like to have him on the show for like a serious conversation. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But somebody had tweeted at Amy and Chip. And I don't remember if Adam was on there or not. Saying, like, why would they have, like, washouts or, you know, washed up people in the paranormal like Chip and John Tenney on their show? Why not, you know, why not have somebody else? And I was like, dude, seriously? Why would you even need to say that?
That's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they said washed up, but it was right along those lines. Like, they were wondering why would you bring in those two guys when you could bring in other people. And I remember Chip's response to that, and it was awesome. And it was, well, you know, so-and-so person, when you have your own show, then you can choose who you want on it.
Right.
Until then, like, F off, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
But it's just things like that I see every single day tweeting at these guys, and I don't think they deserve it.
No, they don't.
That's just the last thing. But we do have some positive. We're going to end it on a positive note.
Well, no, this is positive because you know what? We're sharing with people that it's okay to not let the negativity of social media drag you down. That's really what we're saying.
Sure. Okay.
You know, don't let it, that's what we're saying. Don't let it drag you down, you know? And if you are doing negative comments on social media, maybe take a step back and really think about what the hell you're doing. Why are you doing it? right? I mean, does it really? Is it really important for you to do it, or are you just doing it because you're bored? You know, and if you're bored, pick up your PS4 remote and stay off social media.
Well, nowadays, you know, can you get on Twitter on your
Shut up. PS4? Don't give him any ideas.
I'm just saying, you know, nowadays people want to add in everything they can to everything.
Let's move on to our next topic. It's exciting.
It is exciting. Tickets are not available yet. I think I'm going to wait. I have two other events that I'm waiting for confirmation on, but they require board approval in order to lock down the dates. But I wanted to pre-announce, I guess, to the listeners, the people who, I guess, live in the Midwest, that want to come and investigate with Dave, myself, and my team, Odyssey Paranormal Society. August 2nd and 3rd. So still a number of months out, at Ashmore Estates in Ashmore, Illinois.
Nice.
Yes. So that is confirmed, those dates. And to add to it, not only do you get, I mean, if you do VIP, how I like to do my events, I like to keep it as few people as possible while still, obviously being able to make some money for the team. But where everybody has the ability to have a really good time. I know that I think in like our first show of the year, we talked about Edinburgh and how that one place brought in like, you know, 70 plus people into this building at one time.
Yeah. And then nobody shove them all in one room and everybody's got a piece of equipment.
not everybody had a piece of equipment. That's insane.
That is insane.
I would never do that. I remember you and I going to Chad Kalick's events and he had like 30 people there, 35 people there. And even that was not all that fun.
Well, and you got to remember, so the second day for that event, we went to him and said, you know what? How about if we go in groups of like timed increments? Remember that? So instead of everybody just mass walking in, we said, how about if we just kind of take a group and let that group go in to a certain level or floor and then wait like a half hour for the next group to come in? You know, and he was like, well, that could work. You know, once again, we ran that show. Chad, I like you. Mike likes you. We both like you. You do a good job of what you do. But we basically took that over.
Yeah.
But that concept, right? Because there were so many people. What we said was, let's break it into like 10 people per team. And then let's bring in one team at a time so they get a little bit of time in there.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't just a free for all.
Free for all, because that would just be totally useless.
Yes, and it was once that actually got to that point.
It did,
So what I like to do is I like to rent a place for an entire weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and then Saturday night. VIP. Only 10 tickets available. That's it. Just the team and 10 people in this huge building.
Asylum.
Asylum. Gets Friday night all day Saturday to themselves, and then Saturday night another 15 people. So 25 total. That's it. And VIP gets it almost for 24 hours, just them.
Right.
I've actually, the very first time I ran this event, I still have friends. I still talk to people that came. I mean, it's so intimate and so much fun that it really, you really get friends out of it. You know, it's not just, you go in there and you try to experience something and you leave not remembering a single name.
Right.
Of the people that you that you did. So, right. I'm going to get to do it this time as well. But the added bonus is, and I have set this up with him, friend of the show, Mr. Ken Bogle, the tarot card master himself, will be joining us for this investigation. So if you're a friend, or not a friend, well, friend, yeah, friend, fan, you know, admirer of Mr. Ken Bogle, and you want to come out and investigate with him, he's going to be there the entire weekend. So both nights, and VIP only, even though it's at a discounted rate, they do have to pay a little bit, but they will have the option. It's not required. They will have the option of getting a reading from him.
I would say opportunity to have a discounted reading.
Well, opportunity to have a discounted reading. Yes.
Right.
I have had a couple. He's good. He doesn't just tell you what you want to hear, which I think differs, you know, puts him on the same line as Chip.
Right.
Maybe not in popularity, probably not. I'm not even going to say it, but probably not popularity.
Right. So what he's going to do is he's not going to blow fluff up your butthole. What he's going to do is he's going to tell you what exactly is happening. And some of it's going to be positive and some of it might not be so positive.
Yes.
And you know, it's a hard love type of thing, but that's what you want to hear, because if you're really trying to get a reading to make changes in your life so your life is more positive, that's what you want to hear.
I'll see if I could put it in any sort of contract or whatever that he has to tell them to stay off social media.
There you go.
But I won't. They will have the opportunity of having a face-to-face private reading at this location, and I think it's going to be a phenomenal time. So I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks I will be officially announcing it, but to the listeners of our show, just giving you the heads up, the days,
pre-announcement.
Yeah, pre-announcement,
just to whet your appetite.
Yes. But VIP will be just $200.
There you go.
For everything. Not the reading. That, like I said, that, you know, discounted rate. But you pretty much get Ashmore Estates, which has been featured on Ghost Hunters, featured on Ghost Stalkers, I believe.
Yes.
Because they had a advertisement saying the return of Chad Lindbergh was coming. Yep. Unfortunately, Ghost Adventures was there.
The Klings were there.
Were they?
Yeah.
Maybe I missed that one. Okay.
Yep. Klings were there. Yep.
It's a reputable building.
Has a lot of activity.
Yeah. And I, for one, have been really interested to get there. And we're going to.
Yep.
So August 2nd and 3rd. Write it down in your calendar. If you want to, follow us. Follow, I guess, my team. I probably won't put it on the Odyssey Files page. But Odyssey Paranormal Society on Facebook, on Twitter. Odyssey Director. No spaces. Yeah, I'm going to make, I'm sure I'll probably announce it again on the show once I actually release everything, I guess.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So that's going to be the big event of the year. I do have two other events that are going to be at.
Yeah, I was going to say our summer event. We just haven't locked down a date yet, but that's going to be another great event, though.
Agreed.
That was phenomenal last year. And for everybody who didn't get out there, and I know you didn't get there, because if you'd have got there, we'd have seen you. So, yeah. Seriously, that last year, I mean, that place was alive, to say the least. We got some phenomenal evidence.
Yes.
And a ton of personal experiences.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, three full body apparitions in one weekend. Give me a break, man. There ain't too many places you could go to and have that happen. So that was amazing. That was an amazing location. Very, very cool location. And great history to it, too.
Yes, 100%.
Yep.
Do we want to say where it is, even though we pretty much already have?
No.
We've just been like, this is a great location. And
it is a great location. Nope, it's a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll announce it in an upcoming show here as soon as we get the dates locked down. Because I said, I don't think we should, like, we know the dates for Ashmore. We don't know exactly the dates for this yet. So as soon as we get the exact dates, we'll announce it.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, the last two events for this year are just waiting for board approval.
Right.
So to speak.
Right. And I should say, too, the event this fall, that is no slacker either.
No.
We got phenomenal evidence there, too. And it's just cool that that location is cool as hell. Because the first time I got to go there, I was like, man, this is really cool. You know, and I'm going to say this, it does take a little bit to impress me. It was very cool. I had a really, really good time there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The
great location.
It never disappoints. And
no.
I tried to go back. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go this past year because of repairs and whatnot. But going back in May, can't wait for that. And then
event in September.
So that's, like I said, just waiting on board approval. As soon as we have that, it's going to be good to go. But I also might, in talks, so to speak, might be doing another small event at the LeDuc Mansion in Hastings, Minnesota.
Beautiful location.
Yes. Always get really good evidence out of that place.
Yep.
Class A's, children, phantom male voices where nobody's even on the floor, that sort of thing.
Black mass shadows in a basement.
Yeah, weird lights, ectoplasm flying through the air.
Yeah, cool. It's a great location for activity, but it's an absolutely stunningly beautiful location too for historic value for mansions. Beautiful. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I'm in talks with the new director. I have done an event there in the past, a couple years ago, might be doing another one. So, and even if they don't want it to be like publicly done, like I think they want, I might just put together a private one.
There you go.
You know, just I almost don't even think I would do 10.
Five.
Maybe, yeah, six to eight, depending on.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
Just to small, intimate, just get the full run of the house.
And then maybe get a team out in the, like, the stable barn thing, you know.
The carriage house.
House, right, yep.
That would be pretty sweet. So, just... look for those future episodes. But, I guess that really does it for us for tonight.
You got to throw that in there thick, Mike. A reason to come back and listen to us, another reason. Not just anything, right? You're already coming here because of the great value that you get from Mike and I. But another reason to come back and listen to us is for the release dates for these phenomenal events.
I mean, how many reasons are we up to? Like 520?
I don't have time to count because the show's almost over, but it's close. 522, I was thinking. But yeah, we're in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, give or take five.
Yeah, yeah, we're good.
So, that does it for us. for tonight,
next Monday,
next Monday, great guest, one of our favorites, historian Dana Mitchell. I saw her on Ghost of Shepherd Sound. She's been a friend of the show for a long time. We're going to do the first ever random beep, you know, with Dana Mitchell.
Starts with an S, ends with a T.
Yes. And that's going to be a fun show. So
it's going to be a fun
sure,
show.
Yeah. Make sure you're listening. So for Dave and I, have yourself a good and safe week, and we'll see you back here next week.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.